Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Wilmington, North Carolina, it's time for Wilmington Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello, this is your host, Ann Revelle-Petcher, here on a special edition of Wilmington Business Radio on a Friday afternoon, a cold Friday afternoon. The ending February is, I guess February is supposed to be ended, but we're going to do it all with a sporty attitude here today. I have two really interesting guests that I think you're really going to like listening to. First is Jason Arnold with the Wilmington Hammerheads. Welcome, Jason.
Thanks for having me.
I'm glad to have you here. And Corey Heim with Dry Case. Hey, Corey.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you. I'm going to start this conversation with a little bit of soccer. Can we call it soccer?
Do we have to
call it
football? Soccer, football, either way.
Okay. So Jason is the GM with the Wilmington Hammerheads. And how long have you been with the team?
Yeah, I came on board at the end of October. Then we had an ownership change here at that same time frame, and I came on board with the new ownership group.
That's great. Yeah. So I'm reasonably new to Wilmington, just a couple of few years here myself. And I'm not sure about the history of soccer in Wilmington. How did we get soccer here?
So the Hammerheads started in 1996. The league at the time, I believe, it was a USL league. I believe they called it the A League at that time. Mm-hmm. It's had some, transformations since then, and it's currently called USL Pro is the league we play in now. Still managed and operated out of the United Soccer Leagues, which is based in Tampa, Florida.
Okay.
So since then they've had the club here locally, playing at several different stadiums, and for the last several years they've been at Legion Stadium.
And Legion Stadium is just down.
It's like Carolina Beach Road.
Carolina Beach Road.
Yep, just down.
Well, we've got some construction going on down there. Is that going to be done by the time you guys start the season?
I sure hope so.
Tell us about when you start the season.
Yep.
When's it go?
Yep. So we actually have players reporting now into town from all over the country and all over the world actually coming in. And March 3rd, coming up this Monday, will be our first preseason date on the field. So the boys will be coming in. And we'll get them fit and get them training. And then April 5th will be our first home game at Legion Stadium.
Oh, that's great fun. Who are you playing? Yeah,
we will be hosting Harrisburg City Islanders.
Okay, so, let's go Hammerheads.
That's right, absolutely.
What's your what's the audience like here for you?
The audience is great. You know, they averaged just over 3,000 fans last year.
And that's good.
So that's a great following.
You know, it's good.
It's above the league average. You think about the market, we are in the smallest market in our league as well.
Is that right?
So to be ahead of that average, they've done really well. You know, the previous ownership groups and management groups have done a great job here locally, spreading the word, building relationships, with lots of different demographics. So we're coming into a good situation that I think has a lot of opportunity for us to grow into. And, as we talked a little bit off air, invested on the front office side as well to help that growth continue.
Yeah, talk about that front office.
Yeah, so we, in our sports, in the sports world in general, there's, some main revenue streams that you have to focus on, and sponsorships and ticket sales are two of those important items. So certainly focusing on those, we've been able to really restructure our front office with the staff that was in place when we came on board. And they, really directing new roles, having someone full-time focused on sponsorships and really pushing that revenue stream for us, but investing on the ticketing side as well. So we have two full-time ticketing sales staff in the office.
That's great.
Yeah, it's good for us. They've only previously worked off of one. So to add a second is going to help us kind of reach out to different areas that we haven't touched before. So they're pushing our group sales and season ticket sales and really helping spread the word around the town.
How do season ticket sales work? How many do you buy, like, every single game, or how's it work?
Yeah, so we've got a few different packages for those. We have our regular admission season ticket package, which would cover, general admission ticket to each of our home games this year. We also include discounts for our U.S. Open Cup matches and any of our playoff games as well, if you've purchased into that. New to this year, we've added our VIP season ticket packages. It's a pretty neat setup, and it's great fun to come out to the games in advance, but we have a large tent that we set up, and it's catered prior to every game. So if you're a VIP season ticket holder, you can come out and have a meal before the game. A couple of the players or a coach will stop by as well prior to the game.
Great.
You've got some VIP seating as well and VIP parking with that package. So that's something new that we're pushing this year. The breakdown, the cost per game is very manageable. So if mm-hmm. you're planning on coming to the majority of the games this year, it's a great way to go. Come out, eat, have a good time, and get some other perks as well.
How many games are in the season, home games?
We have 14 regular season home games this
year. Oh,
that's not bad. And in addition to that, we play in the U.S. Open Cup, which is for the non-soccer folks out there. It's really a national tournament that starts at the amateur levels, and it's a knockout rounds.
Oh.
So teams are knocked out as they go up. It gets to a certain round, and then our league comes into the fold, and it goes to another round, and then the Major League Soccer clubs come in as well.
Wow.
So at the end of the day, you have a national champion that's truly covered all the levels of soccer throughout the country.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah, so we're hoping to host a few of those this year as well.
A few of those?
A few of those. Hopefully, you know, we can get one, two, or three here locally. Would
You're
be great.
Kidding.
And we'll
great.
See how that progresses through the tournament and how those seedings and things pan out.
That's really great for economic development here and for tourism and travel industry.
It is, because, you know, they have, and, you know, historically they've hosted MLS teams in this. So it's been meaningful games that winner goes on type situation. So if you're hosting an MLS club here, you know, it's great exposure for the sport.
Yeah. Speaking of MLS, talk to us a little bit about those of us who don't follow it terribly closely here in the States. Maybe, you know, Manchester United, but not too far beyond that.
Yeah, we're not too far behind, right?
Yeah, I think we got a little work to do here in the States. How's soccer organized? I mean, I know you guys made an announcement with Toronto last year. Tell us, first of all, about that. And then we can talk maybe about how the different structures, how MLS and USL are structured.
Yeah, so I think, you know, to take a step back to kind of fully understand what the Toronto relationship is our league, USL Pro and MLS, entered into a long-term affiliation agreement last year. Last year was the first year of that. What that essentially means is MLS teams have the option to either field their own team in our league as a reserve team or affiliate with the team in our league. And if you affiliate, then there's a relationship as far as players going back and forth and really focusing on developing the players to get them ready for the next level. So we managed to communicate and work on a relationship and official affiliation with Toronto FC several months ago. It's been really, really good. There was a lot of synergy between the two groups as far as what our focus is on, which is developing players. We want players to come in, do well with us, and be able to move on and further their careers. At the same time, providing quality soccer and entertainment for our fans. And,
sure.
and certainly bringing in players from Toronto, we'll have four or five, maybe even six of their players on our roster this year.
Great.
So from a quality perspective, we're getting, you know, MLS quality players down here. The value for them is they may not have gotten a lot of games if they stayed in Toronto with the first team. So they come down here, they play a lot more, they get more game time. That's really how you improve as a soccer player, is playing more games. So certainly that helps them from an individual standpoint. It helps Toronto get their players ready for the next level. But it's going to help us on the field, hopefully bring in some wins and help us advance through the playoffs this year.
So it's not quite, or is it similar to what you see in Major League Baseball, where you've got a AAA team, like in the Durham Bulls kind
of
thing? Or?
Yeah, to an extent. It's a hybrid of a lot of different ideas, I think. So soccer's a little bit different than all of those. It's similar to what some of the foreign leagues do. But it's nice because we deal with one team. We're all on the same page with how we want to develop their players, how we work together, and the different opportunities. You know, there's certainly some off-field aspects as well. From a business practices, best practices sharing standpoint. So a lot of meetings, a lot of being able to benefit from things that they're doing. And they're at a different level than us. Certainly, I mean, we want to raise every professional manner that we have out there.
Sure.
And they're a good guide for us in a lot of ways. We can see what they're doing and what works in their market and find ways that we can implement that stuff here locally.
Cool. Talk to us about your players. So they're coming from all over the world. Give us some country names and give me some player names. Where can we find them playing? What positions?
Yeah, so we've got, you know, our league, we are limited to seven foreigners on our team. And so any international players coming in that wouldn't be an American citizen or have a green card would count as foreigners for us. So that's a league rule. So we're limited to that point. Because there's a lot of great players around the world, but we certainly want to make sure we're focusing on developing American players
Absolutely.
As well and moving them on. So that rule makes a lot of sense. We have players coming in from England, from Scotland. We've just signed Sonny Jane, who had a solid collegiate career at the University of Maryland. He is from South Africa. So he's just been approved to come on board, and we announced him earlier this week.
Great. Congratulations.
It's great, and I think he's a player that's up and coming that would really benefit from a lot of game times here with us, and hopefully he's going to be in a position soon to move on to the next level with us.
He starts as a terp, and he becomes a hammerhead. He's got all these water creatures in his life. He's
right.
probably an Aquarius,
that's right?
Right?
Something like that.
So yeah. Your players, how do they integrate into the community when they're here?
Yeah, that's a big thing for us. Something that I'm pushing really hard on our side in the front office and with the players as they start arriving is setting that tone. You know, the reality of it is we are a minor league system mm-hmm. team here. And, you know, if we were Manchester United, it'd be a different situation.
It'd be a little different, yeah.
But it's good. And we need to find that connection between our fans and our players. So our goal is to get these players out and about as much as possible, you know, whether it's at different events. The accessibility that our fans can have to our players is really big.
Sure.
I mean, it helps us, you know, build those relationships with the fans, and then they come out excited to see certain players.
Oh, yeah.
You know, even from a young age, if you're in school and you've got a professional soccer player comes out and helps you, you know, study math after school one day.
Yeah, that's pretty
cool. That's going to build a nice connection and relationship that'll help us, you know, bring fans into the game and get excited about our club.
Yeah. It's really fun to walk around downtown or drive around some of the other areas and see nice big welcome Hammerhead signs on the front doors. And I noticed down at one of the bars down here in Front Street, the Husk, I think, is constantly saying, Hammerhead's right here,
here. Yeah, and that's part of it, too. You know, we moved our offices, as you know, downtown not too long ago, and that's an exposure standpoint. We rebranded, updated our logo, built a new website. So part of, you know, in a rebranding structure with any business is you got to get that image out there. You've got to get those impressions in front of people. So being downtown with our staff, our signage, people are starting to see, you know, where we are and what we're about and that logo and the impressions, I think, starts carrying and will help us throughout the season.
Yeah. You know, we have obviously a real strong community here. People who live in Wilmington love Wilmington, or in the entire Cape Fear region, love where we live in a big way. And so connecting to the things that are broader than just Wilmington are really, really important for us. So things like Hammerheads is really, really important for the community. I would assume that you can really tap into the travel and tourism industry, though.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's you know, right where we're located on Gray Street.
Yeah.
It's been great. It's a visible spot for us. New hotel just opened up next door that mm-hmm. hopefully they'll be successful and fill it with tourists all year. And when they walk outside looking for something to do, we'll be right in front of them
and
hopefully selling them tickets to get them out there. But yeah, you know, we get a lot of, you know, this area gets a lot of people in for weekends.
Mm-hmm.
Majority of our games this year will be on weekends, which will be nice. So, you know, for the folks that are local, that's a good fit too.
Mm-hmm.
Find something to do on the weekends. You don't have to worry about your weekly schedule.
Yeah, right, exactly.
So that certainly will help us. But yeah, bringing folks in from out of town, you know, people come downtown all the time or go to the beaches and we're right down the road from them.
I assume in terms of your marketing strategy and who you market to, you probably market to the people who come to the beach every weekend kind of thing as well. So reaching on up to Raleigh and beyond.
We do. You know, we put a pretty, you know, full plan together for this year to include billboards and advertising
Great.
And radio Good. And television and internet. So we're trying to make sure we're hitting all the bases there with that. But I think we'll have a pretty good complete plan this year that'll help us.
That's great. Do you have any rivals?
We've got a lot of rivals.
Yeah.
If you're not a Hammerhead, I suppose you're a rival, right? No, we've got Charleston's got a very strong club, Charleston Battery.
Charleston Battery, they're called?
Yep, Charleston Battery.
Okay, so we know who we can, like, develop a cheer to, like, beat Battery kind
Absolutely.
Of thing.
Absolutely. we've got a really good fan club here as well called the Port City Firm. They support us off the field, on the field,
Port
when we travel.
Firm.
That's right.
That's
and,
pretty cool.
Yeah, they're great, and they do a lot for us, and we're very thankful for what they've brought to the table. And part of that is they help us fuel that rivalry between Charleston and certainly any team that comes in here. But I would say that's a big rivalry for us.
Cool. So what is it your players, what have you heard from your players that they like about being here?
You know, that's been a nice, easy sell for me in my position, you know, trying to acquire players. You know, we're not in a very cold place in the middle of nowhere. So it's easy to get on the phone with some of these guys and sell this city. You know, obviously, the downtown's great. There's lots of stuff going on all the time, especially in the summer months. It's very busy. The beaches are right around the corner.
Yeah.
So you know, you've got guys coming from cold climates that just love the idea of coming down here. So that's definitely been a help.
Oh, that's the Toronto sell.
That's
I get
right.
it now. Now I get it.
Makes sense. Absolutely.
Okay, great. Well, I'm going to come back and chat with you in just a minute. I
sure.
want to talk about those going to the beach things with Corey.
Yeah.
So Corey, Dry Corp is now Dry, well, not is now Dry Case, has Dry Case as a component of it. Is that how this works? Is Dry Corp the over?
Yeah, well, we kind of spun off the way Dry Case started was from Dry Corp, which is basically a medical distribution company. We make waterproof cast and bandage and surgery protection. And a few years ago, about 5 years ago now, we came up with kind of the idea that we were all living at the beach and going to the beach, and we all had smartphones, and kind of said, why doesn't somebody make something waterproof for phones? And we said, wait a minute, that's what we do. So we sort of spun Dry Case off of Dry Corp, and they're both, you know, sisters and companies and everything, but it's its own entity also.
Gotcha. So I first came to know you, of course, probably about 3 years ago when you became a NC company to watch, right, as the big growth up-and-coming company, which we're real proud to have in Wilmington. And at the time, I think that all I knew that you made was really sort of either an iPhone case or something to that effect. You've added a lot of stuff to your product line, haven't you?
Correct. And this year, we're going to be adding a lot more stuff. So we started with sort of our flagship product, which was a phone case. We have a patent on basically vacuum sealing over a handheld electronic. So that covered your smartphones and your iPods. And then we developed a tablet case, which was basically just a larger one. And that went gangbusters for the first few years. And we sort of sat back a little bit too much and were riding that wave, and then realized, you know, really quickly that, hey, wait a minute, we can't just be a one-trick pony. So we came out with some waterproof headphones and waterproof headsets called Dry Buds, which have been out for a few years now. And this last year we came out with a waterproof backpack, a 30-liter waterproof dry bag backpack. And this year we're planning on launching about 12 new products along the sort of waterproof backpack dry bag line and some different waterproof headsets as well.
Very cool. Talk to me about how that happens. So you have to paint a picture for the audience because they can't see this right now. So walk them through. They've got iPhone, let's just say, and they have a headset, maybe your waterproof headset that they plug into their iPhone. And how does the whole thing come together? How is there a seal between where the headset is, et cetera?
Yeah, so our headsets are universal and they're waterproof by themselves. But the product that you're probably going to use it with is our Dry Case, which essentially has a locking closure and a clear marine grade vinyl housing bag, if you will. And it has a headphone jack welded into it that's waterproof, and a one way check valve. And basically, you remove the air after you put your device in there. And it creates a vacuum seal over the device, so seals flush against the screen, and you can use the controls, and then of course plug the headset in, and it's completely waterproof. Even to we've had it tested in a lab to 100 feet.
Wow! So what do you use most of all of your products? So I mean, I know you're an active water guy, right?
Yeah, I honestly use them all a lot, and it's not just because I work for the company and help develop the products, but that's just my lifestyle, being on the water and everything. So I'll use the phone case, paddleboarding all the time. I use it on my bike a lot of the time too. You can actually attach it to your bike. I use the backpack for travel, just general travel, because we go to a lot of trade shows all over the world. And just sort of the nature of who I am and who we are as a company, anytime we go to a trade show, we're going to sneak in a half a day of water adventure or some kind of adventure. So having that waterproof backpack, with us doubles as a dry bag for whatever we end up doing.
That's pretty cool. I was thinking the other day, I think it was about 2 years ago, I went on a quick tour of your facility. It's a very cool place out near Wrightsville Beach. They've got this huge facility where you do all your testing, all of your manufacturing.
Correct. Yeah.
Everything's done right there in that facility, right?
Yep. Everything comes out of Wilmington, North Carolina, of our warehouse. We actually test each and every single individual dry case unit that we sell there, and assemble them and package them. And so we actually ship all over the world, and it all happens right here from Wilmington.
But it's such a cool culture in there. I mean, everybody gets to be absolutely who they are in real life every minute of the day.
Yep. And we've one of the things I'm probably most proud of that the company's been acknowledged for was Outside Magazine, which is a pretty large publication. We've gotten the last 2 years the top 100 places to work.
Really?
From Outside Magazine. So the reason that's so cool is because, first of all, that's the industry we're in, dry cases in the outside industry. But it's also kind of who we are. We're out on the water. We're paddlers, we're surfers, we're bikers. And,
or under the water.
Or under the water.
I mean, you tend to be even like a spear fishing kind of guy. Is that correct?
Yep, do a little bit of that as much as I can.
Yeah. It's really amazing to see you take these backpacks, you know, spear fishing, essentially, right?
Yeah, you can take them basically in any water environment that you can imagine.
It's pretty amazing. It's one of the things that I've noticed that people that like to get on the water but are afraid to leave work behind too much. My husband runs a company where he has to be accessible. And so he's often worried about, I don't know if we can go kayaking. I may get a client call and it's kind of, and I'm like, no, you know what? I went out and bought him, of course, all your stuff. I said, now you have no more excuses. We can go kayaking anytime and you can take your phone with you.
Yep.
Be accessible.
And, yeah. And that's, I kind of tell the story, you know, as being a surfer and anybody that knows surfers, they don't want to have their phone out there with them because it's sort of a spiritual thing and you're kind of getting away from all that. But, you know, I get asked all the time, because people know that I surf and it's, you know, one of my passions, I get asked all the time, well, do you actually bring your phone out with you surfing? And I say, well, you know, it's great for playing hooky when you're supposed to be at work and you need to be able to get an email or a phone call or text, and you wouldn't be able to go out surf otherwise. So that's kind of the answer to that.
I assume that being waterproof also means you're pretty much sandproof.
Yep.
Which is the bigger probably deal for people who are surfers and don't want to take the phone out with them.
Yep.
So that's pretty cool. So how are you distributing this? I mean, you got a pretty good website, right?
Yeah, we have drycase.com, which you know, is a great name. It's our name and it's our website name, but primarily our distribution goes through sort of surf shops, dive shops, outdoor retailers. We recently got into Bass Pro Shop, and we're launching this month with Dick's Sporting Goods on a regional launch, and it'll actually be in the Wilmington store as well next month. So.
Right. So by the time we can go to a soccer game, we can go buy stuff at Dick's.
That's right.
Is that right?
Yep.
All right. It's all coming together all at the right time. So what kinds of questions do people ask you about your products?
The biggest thing they ask is it really waterproof? Mm-hmm. And how can I trust it? And with our phone case with the vacuum seal, you can actually, it lets the user actually test it before they use it, because when they remove all the air, mm-hmm. and they can see that it's airtight,
yeah.
they know that it's watertight, because air molecules are smaller than water molecules. So if no air is getting in, no water can get in. So that's kind of our secret sauce. And not only does it allow us to test it that way, but it lets the user test it each and every time before they use it.
That's great. So you're an award-winning company. You keep winning all these things because I keep seeing you and Dr. Arch popping up all over the place. I see your company as really committed to our region. And we see that in things like even the fact that your face is up on the website for the Chamber of Commerce.
Right.
How'd that come to be?
Yeah, so that's kind of a funny story. I have a good friend of mine, Jonathan Rowe, who actually used mm-hmm. to run the Entrepreneur Center at UNCW. Mm-hmm. He sort of threw my name into the hat. There was a local marketing company that was, I guess, redoing the Chamber's website.
Mm-hmm.
And they had this vision of, you know, the sort of work, play, and social, the three different sort of aspects that you might see in Wilmington. And they threw my name in the hat, and I volunteered my time. And
that's great.
You know, 6 a.m. one morning at the beach, this photographer, you know, knocks on my door, and we go out there on the paddleboard and took some photos. And, of course, I think they were going to add later to a different sort of personalities on there, but I think I'm still the only one. So I get made fun of for that a lot by my friends and stuff.
So you went up on the paddleboard. Did he go on the paddleboard?
He was in the kind of in the shore break. So
oh, I see. Okay. So I was wondering if he put one of the dry case things around his camera. You don't have them that big yet, do you?
Not yet, but maybe that's the next thing.
Yeah, maybe we should put that in the pipeline. What do you think? Product pipeline.
There you go.
I love it. Okay, what are your big plans for this year? You got how many new products?
Yeah, so we're going to be launching over a dozen new products. Our biggest sort of announcement is going to be we actually signed a licensing agreement with a camouflage brand called Mozzie Oak.
Hmm.
And so they're one of the leaders in camouflage patterns and technology in the world. And we developed a way to make our dry bags, our waterproof backpacks, using their camouflage patterns. So it's going to open up a whole new market to us. There's, I always kind of say there's two aspects to the camouflage. There's the fashion aspect, and that's because of, you know, Duck Dynasty and all these things, and people just
I want to be known for.
They just like, you know, the look of camo in general, and then there's the practical aspect of it, which is the hardcore duck hunter that's going out in his boat that, you know, needs to have this pattern to be really truly camouflaged and hidden while they're out hunting. So we're going to have an option basically for all of our dry bags and backpacks and duffel bags and the things that we're launching to be in these camouflage patterns. And Mozzie Oak is a major, major national brand, and we're going to be able to sort of partner with them and piggyback with a lot of their marketing.
That's great. Boy, you guys have really done a whole lot of stuff lately, haven't you?
Yeah, you got to.
Growing. You're going to outgrow that cool space that you've got, the wall-less space.
Yeah. It's, you know, we got the hammerheads here. So I always say, I think I was taught this in business school, but, you know, anybody that knows a little bit about, you know, fish or sharks or whatever, they don't have a swim bladder. So they have to basically keep swimming or they die because they sink. So we always say that, like, you know, business is like a shark. You got to keep moving forward. You got to keep swimming or you're going to die. So that's what we're trying to do with the new product development.
Excellent. Well, congratulations on all your successes and future successes.
Thank you.
What did I forget to ask you?
let's see. Well, one thing I wanted to mention, we were talking a lot about, you know, Wilmington and economic development here. And we go to shows all over the world and, you know, we'll be in, you know, I was in Dubai a couple of weeks ago and people walk up to you and they say, oh, you're from North Carolina. That's awesome. I know so-and-so that lives there. I live there. And one thing we did when we started launching these different backpacks and these different bags, is we said, we want to give these things kind of unique names, not just small, medium, large, or 30 liter, 40 liter, 50 liter or whatever. So we said, well, let's name them after kind of local things that are around the water. And, our first backpack is called the Masonboro for Masonboro Island. You know, and it's the kind of the product that you're going to take on your boat, you know, going over to Masonboro or hanging out there for the day. And then we launched a smaller stand-up paddleboard specific backpack with actually it's got suction cups that are attached to it. You can actually attach to the front of your board.
Oh,
so that's cool. And we named that the Basin for the basin at Fort Fisher, which is a really cool kind of historic place. And so all of our stuff, we have an 80 liter duffel bag that's going to be called the Liberty Ship, which is a popular dive spot off of Masonboro Inlet. So kind of tying in that regional local flavor and, you know, all of our product listings has a backstory about what Masonboro is or what the basin is. And so it kind of brings some cool content for people looking at the products, but also ties it back into the area.
Cool. What did I forget to talk to the Hammerheads about?
Covered quite a bit, I think. You know, we talked about April 5th, the first home opener, and our new office space is downtown 108 Grace. So certainly I want to invite anybody who's downtown to stop in. We've got some merchandise for sale there as well. You can pick up your tickets, say hi to the staff, you know, chat with the coach a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that door is open, so we welcome anybody to come by.
That's great. Thanks. So... give us the address. Give us a website.
Yep. 108 Gray Street's the office space. WilmingtonHammerheads.com is our website. Check that out as well. It's fully redesigned, brand new site.
Excellent.
New updates coming every day on that thing. So we're working hard to get it exactly right.
Good deal. And how do we get a hold of a dry case?
Yeah. So the website is drycase.com. If you're here locally, we're right off of Military Cutoff Road, 349 Military Cutoff Road. You can stop by and say hi. Stop by on a Friday around lunch, and we're always, you know, cooking out and having a good time. So
be careful. You'll be having a lot of extra people showing up for a burger.
We might bring the whole team by.
Yeah.
There you go.
Bring them by. We'll feed them.
Sounds good. All right. Thanks to our guest today, Jason Arnold, the GM of the Hammerheads, and Corey Heim, COO of Dry Case. And this is Anne Ravel-Petcher. Until next time.